keeping the house till the Lord comes, if you will. Part one. The Bible reads, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came." The lapel mics are very important. Where are they at? We need to get those lapel mics back for all the people who are listening through Facebook Live and what's the other one? And Periscope. Those of you who are listening and watching via Periscope and Facebook Live, please indicate how the sound is. Tell us whether or not you can hear us clearly. Our technician does not have the lapel mics that go directly to the devices for some reason, and we're going to have to get those lapel mics going again. So make a note of that. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready," Jesus said, "therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Keeping the house till the Lord comes, part one. Go ahead and cut this off. Cut that off so these people can hear better. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Have mercy and grace, Lord, upon us all. And for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Prepare us to preach your holy word and to hear your holy word. Fill each of us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord of your Holy Spirit. And save that soul that is nearest hell. Prepare them for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that many people in the world do not believe that the Lord Jesus is going to come back a second time, some even in the church. But they didn't believe he was going to come the first time, but he came. And that is not only a faith fact, but an historical fact. and he will come again. So Lord, help everybody to get ready if they're not ready. And revive those of us who are saved, and help us to, as you have just commanded us, to be ready. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding our passage for today, Dr. John Walvoord said, unlike the rapture, which has no preceding signs and therefore could occur any time, Christ's return to the earth to set up his kingdom cannot occur until the preceding signs have been fulfilled. When the ark was completed and Noah and his family and the animals were in it, those observing could anticipate that the predicted flood could occur any day. But even then, they could not predict the day or the hour. Like the days of Noah, the second coming will be a period of judgment on the earth. Just as the flood came and took them all away, referring to the judgment of unbelievers, so at the second coming of Jesus Christ, some will be taken away for judgment preceding the establishment of the kingdom. The illustrations, beginning in verse 32, have as their primary interpretation and exhortation the situation immediately preceding the second coming of Christ. But there is an application to those living today in expectation of the rapture. Believers today also need to be faithful, to be recognizing the signs of the times, and to be living in such a way that they are ready for the Lord's return. Even among those who differ in their basic interpretation of prophecy, there is this constant unifying note of being ready, being ready, being ready for the Lord's return. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the days of Noah, and we're going to unpack this more as time goes on in this series. And in fact, we will be more detailed about these interesting times before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Basically, there's really nothing wrong with these things. But before the judgment came, before the flood, people were just going about their normal lives, doing the good things that we like to do. Eating, drinking. And some people like to drink Kool-Aid, some like to drink wine. Marriage, getting married, getting to know somebody, and dating, and what they call courting and so forth.
Sound good?
Okay, did you hear the first part? Huh? It just went off temporarily? Okay, good. Getting to know somebody, that's what we humans do. There's nothing wrong with a man getting to know a woman getting to know a man. These are good things. These are things that God wants to happen. However, there is something wrong with a man getting to know a man in an intimate fashion, or a woman getting to know a woman. I know that most pastors would not touch that. But it needs to be touched on, because we have this problem in the church today. In fact, that's why one of the reasons why the judgment came is because people were violating God's word. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that, and I don't like you bringing that up. That's too bad. I'm trying to get you saved from hell and saved from a life of trouble." God demands that we obey his word. And first and foremost, we ought to trust Christ as Savior. But everything in the Bible, after you get saved, God wants us to obey. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. Amen, somebody. You will not live a happy life. You will not live a good life, a wonderful life, unless you have a heart that is saved and born again by the grace of God, and that is willing and eager to obey the word of God, even though we all may fail from time to time. We have, by the grace of God, the ability to get back up and to serve the Lord. It is in your heart to serve him. It is in your heart to please him. That is the heart of the person who is born again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we move on today, we are looking at the second passage in our parables of the Second Coming series, if you will. In the parable from Mark 13, 33 through 37, we saw four important things. We saw four important things that we ought to be doing as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking heed to Jesus Christ, watching, praying, and working. I hope that you're doing those things. Taking heed to the Lord Jesus Christ and whatever he tells us to do. As Mother Mary told the workers at the wedding at Cana, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. And we have a crisis in our churches today where people are wondering why they're not joyful. They're wondering why they're not happy. They're wondering why life is not good for them. Whether you're facing tribulation or not, they're wondering why they can't cope. They're wondering why they can't deal. Because, and the reason is because people don't take heed to Jesus. People do not take heed to the word of God. Jesus gave us basically two commandments. The Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Great Commandment, love everyone else like you love yourself. We ought to love all people, and we ought to witness to all people. We ought to be engaged in those two things every day. And most of the church today do neither. And that's why families are in turmoil. Single people are playing instead of praying. Having sex outside of marriage. Doing God knows what. There's no joy, there's no peace. You see no happiness in their faces because they're disobedient to Jesus. Secondly, they're not watching, so they're constantly bamboozled. They're constantly duped, constantly fooled in their pride, in their stubbornness, and in their rebelliousness. They're not praying, so the devil is having a field day with them. And they're not working. Thank God for those Christians, that 20%, the remnant, that do all of the work in the church. Thank God for those. But the other 80% need prayer. They're not doing what God has commanded them to do in light of the second coming of Christ. And so, beloved, in this parable, Jesus expounds on the importance of being ready at all times. If you knew that someone was planning an attempted burglary at your house, you would get ready. You would hide your valuables, hopefully in a safe that they will not see. You would lock and bolt the doors. You would make sure the security system was online and fired up and ready to go. You would alert local authorities. You would make sure your family was away from the anticipated robbery and possible violence. If you are the confrontational type, you would sit up in the living room, probably with a weapon and with a very deep voice, say, "Who is it?" As I have done on several occasions, scaring away even some of the old ladies from the church who were coming by to visit. They knocked on my door at the wrong time of night. And we wait for the thief to arrive with a gun, a long gun in our lap. But most people don't know when someone is planning to rob their house. They are caught by surprise. I'm reminded of a young lady this past week, had a baby in the back. She was not thinking about anybody robbing her and carjacking her. Someone beat her up, stole her car, and stole the car with the little infant baby in it. She was not expecting that. She was caught off guard. She was caught by surprise. Glory be to God, somehow the baby, they got the baby back. But that's how it is. When you are robbed by a thief, it's something that they've been planning, but you're not planning. Jesus likens his return to that of a thief breaking into a house. He commands us to watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Jesus, of course, is not coming for his church as a thief. He is coming like a thief. It is interesting that he uses this parable, this story. But what Jesus is getting at is the suddenness, the shocking element, the element of surprise is what he is emphasizing. Donald Barnhouse notes this difference in his commentary. He said, "Coming as a thief always denotes an unexpected coming in judgment, because a thief comes to rob and destroy." And may I say, isn't it amazing how people are not watching today? Everybody's caught up into their thing, eating and drinking, and I will be the first to tell you, one of the greatest things you can do for your life is to work hard and get something done with your life and accomplish something. Solomon said it better than I did. And then have yourself a good meal and a good drink and relax and enjoy what God has blessed you to be able to do. Eating and drinking is good. but watching is good as well. While you're eating and drinking, you ought to be watching. You ought to be praying. You ought to be focusing, paying attention, and you ought to be working. You ought to be mindful. You need to be like Nehemiah. And eat your food with a shovel in one hand and a weapon in the next, in the other hand. You need to sleep with your clothes on in this day and time. Always watching. Be ready, Freddy, and be ready, Betty. Keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ in the second coming. And what you will find is that you will have peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable, and you will not be walking around here hopeless. We have people today so hopeless they are contemplating suicide. You know why? Because their hope is not in Jesus. Their hope is in what they want life to be, and it is not and will not be. And it cannot be what you want it to be, because what you want it to be is sinful and evil and doing what you want to do, which will lead you not only to hell but to misery in this life. So therefore, you need to put your heart and mind on Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the soon coming King. And so Dr. Barnhouse notes the difference in his commentary when he says, coming as a thief always denotes an unexpected coming in judgment, because a thief comes to rob and to steal, kill, and to destroy. Christ is never said to come for his church as a thief. The first phase of the Lord's coming is as a bridegroom, and the second phase is as a thief. He does not come upon his bride as a thief, and he does not come upon the apostates and unregenerate world as a bridegroom. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you are ready to meet the Lord as his bride. The way that we do that is by keeping watch over the house that the Lord has given us, just like the good man in Jesus' parable. What house do we have to watch over? First, beloved, we have our bodies, ourselves, which are a temple for the Holy Ghost. But more than just the body, our spirits, our hearts, our minds, don't we need to watch our hearts? Don't we need to watch our minds and what we dwell on, what we think about? Some of you are thinking about some dark, dark things, and that's why you have darkness in your soul and in your eyes. But we have to also watch our eyes. Isn't that interesting? Don't we? We have to watch what we watch. We have to watch our attitudes. We need to watch and guard our hearts that we don't become bitter and resentful and mean and hateful and unkind to others, unconcerned about others. Our bodies, which are the temple for the Holy Ghost. Then keeping the house of our bodies means staying away from sin and staying spiritually vigilant. Then we have the house of our families. I thought about this the other day. God wants us to pray for everybody. But if we don't pray for our families first, then you might as well not even pray for others. Your main job is to pray for your family, to pray for yourself and to pray for your family. If you just did that, that would be a good thing. Now, beyond your family, you still ought to pray for others. Pray for friends, pray for co-workers, pray for neighbors, pray for enemies. We ought to be on guard lest the devil infiltrate and infest our families, rendering us unprepared and unready to meet the Lord as we should, all of us. Just the other day, dear lady lost 9 members of her family. There's no way to cope with that. There's no way to deal with that other than with God. There's no counselor, nobody can help you with that kind of loss other than God himself. And God will be gracious. But the question comes up, were they ready? The question comes up, are you ready? Because just like that happened to that family, it can happen to your family. It can happen to your church members. Be ready at all times. Be ready for the second coming of Christ. Be ready for your own death. And I wrote a prayer some time back that is fitting for this lady. It said, Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us for weddings and prepare us for funerals. Oftentimes, both of those things are held in churches. And prepare us for life and death. And we pray that for that lady. We pray that for ourselves. For if our day has not come, our day is coming. And finally, we must keep the Lord's house, the church. It is every individual believer's responsibility to guard against spiritual deadness in the church, false teaching in the church, and lack of focus on the Great Commission and the Great Commandment in the church. We often complain about the pastor and the church leaders not doing their job. But every believer is a priest under God. And we each bear responsibility to ensure that God's house is in good working order. In order to do that, we need to be taking heed to Jesus Christ. We need to be watching. We need to be praying. And we need to be working. So by the grace of God, may we keep watch over the house in anticipation of the sudden return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly in the rapture, he can come back at any time. Are you ready? The great songwriter Charles Wesley, I had the privilege of visiting his home. Strangely and interestingly, Charles Wesley had a wonderful family life. A very spiritual man and a much happier man than John Wesley, who was the main leader of the two brothers. John Wesley had a terrible home life. His wife was devilish and constantly trying to hinder him in the ministry. I had the privilege of visiting both of their homes and their ministries there in England some years ago, and I was just amazed at how different they were. But God used both of them mightily. And we thank God for their mother. I believe her name was Susanna, who raised those boys pretty much by herself. And God used her to raise those boys to turn England upside down. But Charles Wesley said these words, "Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and nevermore thy temples leave." Thee we would be always blessing. Serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation. Pure and sinless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you in advance, and we praise you and thank you for his first coming, which assures us that he's coming back one day. Help us to take heed to him and his word. Help us to watch and help us to pray and help us to obey your holy word until he comes. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I urge you to trust him as your Savior today, because Jesus Christ is coming again in the rapture. That can happen in any moment. And then he's coming back one day and to plant his 2 feet on the ground here on earth again. He is coming again, and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from sin and from the consequences of sin, which is eternal hell, and be saved to heaven. Because Jesus Christ not only suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins to save you from hell, but to save you to heaven, because he wants to fellowship with you. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all are guilty, we all have done wrong, and we all deserve to go to hell. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins. One day you will die if you live long enough, and you will die because of your sins. Our body goes to the grave, our multi-trillion dollar bodies go to the grave. They were made to live forever, but we messed it up. We marred our lives with sin and evil, and so we must die. And the tragedy, one of the tragedies of death, is that we don't know when we're going to die. The truth is, I can drop dead right now. You can drop dead right now. And then our soul, if we never trust Christ as Savior, goes to a place called hell. And Jesus Christ warned us about hell more than anybody in the Bible. more than any preacher today, because he does not want us to go to hell. He wants us to dwell in heaven and in eternity with him and God. But Jesus Christ preached more about hell than he did about heaven. He said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him," Jesus Christ, "should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with God and with Jesus." And you don't have to do anything to gain this salvation and your home in heaven, but believe on Jesus Christ. You do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to stand up in front of 1,000 people on your first night in the meeting or in the church and be embarrassed and humiliated. You don't have to shout and run around the church as you may have seen some others do. You don't have to have any money. You can't pay for this. You don't have enough money to pay for this salvation. Even Bezos does not have enough money to pay for this salvation. That's why it's free. It was not easy for Jesus, but it's free and easy for us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friend of mine, just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible promises in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Church membership will not save you. A baptismal certificate will not save you. Sitting in the chair in the front of the church will not save you. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You don't have to be in a church. I got saved in a dorm room. You can get saved right where you are. Follow me in prayer right now. If you are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save you right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner and that I have done some wicked deeds in my life. I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your name in vain, by lying and dishonesty, by stealing, by lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you have been saved to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer.